Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout order today comes from you. Many of you had some very strong reactions to advice that we got from takeaway contributor Beth Kobliner yesterday.
You've been in a job for over, say, 5, 6, 7 years. If you have an opportunity to get out, do it.
Job security comes from not staying too long in any one job? Nonsense, says a listener calling from Detroit, a city that believably knows a lot about unemployment these days.
My name is Bill. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. I don't know who you're reporting to when you're talking about take as many jobs as you can. I work in a very tight-knit group of people in the heating and cooling world. And if I look at somebody's resume that's got job after job after job, the only thing I'm thinking about is how come you can't hold a job?
Thanks, Bill. And it wasn't just from Detroit where you pushed back. Karen from New Jersey writes, I've been with the same company for nearly 12 years now, and periodically I go out into the job market to see what else is available. Every time I've been offered new positions, which I've not accepted yet, and each time they tell me one of the things they like most about me is my obvious loyalty to my employer.
And Robert, one of our listeners, says the longer you spend at a job, the more skills you can acquire. He writes, you cannot learn everything, even in a small manufacturer within a year or two. Suppliers, cost, customer requirements, testing, government requirements, design, timing for scheduling, quality control, modifications of design. Those are just a few of the tasks to be understood and mastered.
In some professions, there are strong economic incentives for staying put, says Craig in New Jersey about his job.
As a public school teacher, you know, I still have a pension, which is interesting. And I feel like my school district, probably all school districts, really encourage you to stay. 10 years I'm vested in my pension and 25 years in the same district, and I get my health benefits for life. So I don't know. I kind of feel like staying is encouraged in my line of work as a school teacher.
And of course, money is not the only reason that we make decisions about whether or not to keep our jobs.
They did not speak about anything other than motivations coming from money. In other words, what about somebody who does a job because it's what they want to do? What about somebody who is loyal because that's the work they want to accomplish? That's not even addressed anymore. That's a sad thing.
So don't do anything rash, but you should consider any of the advice we offer on this program. Then call us with your reactions, experiences, and stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Our next takeout is with Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, I'm doing the math here, and good morning. We got a 5-vote margin of victory for the Democrats on health care reform. 39 Democrats apparently voted against it. And yesterday you told us about 40 Democrats who aren't going to vote for a bill that has this abortion amendment in it.
Right.
Sounds like the Democrats are having a little trouble with consensus here.
They're having a little trouble with consensus, and in the Senate, they're having a little trouble with 60. Yesterday was Tuesday, John, and on Tuesdays, the Republicans and Democrats divide themselves up into lunches, party lunches, and usually they have guests. You know, sometimes it's a CEO. I've seen Howard Schultz from Starbucks come in. Sometimes it's an author. Yesterday, they got a pep talk, and here's who gave it to them. Listen to this.
Whatever their differences are, I just urge them to resolve the differences and pass a bill. And I also believe, you know, people hire us to come to work in places like this to solve problems, to stand up and do it.
Now, if there's anyone, John, who knows how to not handle
right.
a health care bill, it's Bill Clinton.
A curious pep talker there.
Yeah, well, he knows what to do and what not to do. And he does inspire Democrats because he was a successful president and he's famous. And his wife is one of their colleagues and they all really like her a lot.
Successful, you know, impeached colleague. President, we should point out to some in the audience.
Yes, but acquitted in the Senate.
Right.
Impeached by the House. I know, John, you always got to bring that into
It's kind of there. Sorry.
It is, well, it's very
all right,
much
but anyway, are they going to find consensus? Will they get to 60 and then we got to go?
Well, Harry Reid said yesterday that he intends to put this bill on the Senate floor as early as next week. Whether or not that's realistic or not, we don't know because next week is Thanksgiving and that's going to be a very short week. You don't necessarily want this bill hanging out there over a week.
He's got
a lot of problems. He does not have 60 on any approach, John, so the pep talk is exactly what those Democrats needed.
All right, we'll talk turkey about that next week, Todd. Thank you. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent.
Now let's talk sports with Takeaway Sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
Mark Teixeira dives on the chalk. Got it. Gold glove caliber work from Teixeira.
Indeed, gold glove caliber work. Mike Teixeira, the New York Yankees, won the gold glove for first base. We had the winners announced yesterday, and many people say Teixeira is a perfect poster boy for the credibility of the golden gloves, right?
That's actually funny. He's one of the best. He's the best first baseman in the American League, obviously.
I've ever seen. He's the best I've ever seen.
He's got range. He's able to dive for ball, go for balls that a lot of people don't go for. But he also is able to shift and get in positions to help out the larger defensive puzzle that happens when there's a long ball hit into the outfield. What you're looking for with a Golden Glove caliber player is they have to perform at the plate, obviously, but they also have to have that range, have to have speed, and there's the athleticism that's there. But then the other piece is their smarts. They have to understand the game of baseball. That's why you get a guy like Joe Mauer from the Twins, who led the league in the, with the batting average, and he'll probably win the MVP, but he also is a really smart baseball player. Same thing with Derek Jeter.
The criticism of the Golden Gloves, of course, is that sometimes they're given to players based on, you know, their position, their reputation in baseball, as opposed to their actual performance. I mean, Jeter's one of those people that people are pointing to and saying, really? The Gold Glove for shortstop?
Well, this is the up until this year, Jeter probably didn't really deserve it in most of the years that he won it. Or just most of the years that he played. But this year, he had eight errors. He had an incredibly low number of errors. He played his best. He had one of his best seasons this year. So it's very clear that Derek Jeter was the Golden Glove for this year. And you have to know that they were selected by Major League coaches and managers before the end of the regular season.
Right, so it's all about the regular season.
Correct.
Yeah.
Who else on this list? I mean, we've got people from the Rays, the Angels, the Orioles, the Tigers.
So there's two guys that I want to point out.
Ishiro.
Exactly, Ishiro Suzuki. And Torii Hunter, outfielders who could play wide receiver.
Ishiro's on the Mariners, and Hunter's on the Angels.
Correct, and they are truly athletic stars. And particularly Ishiro Suzuki, his arm is, some people say, it's almost like Roberto Clemente. He is one of the best outfielders of all time. Yes,
he is, absolutely. That's Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our Takeaway Sports contributor.